What up, guys? This is D from What I Learned from Comics. Today, I'm interviewing Jordan Clark, comic book creator, Baltimore creator. I'm so excited to have him on the podcast today. Jordan, say what's up.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
So today we're going to be covering a couple quick questions, and I wanted to interview Jordan to help. If you're creative or you're somebody who's creating content, to give you a couple tactics and perspective on how to get your content out in the world and make your vision come true. So, Jordan, the first question I really wanted to ask you is related to the hustle. What has it taken for you to be able to market yourself in the comic book industry?
Well, I've been doing comics for about 6 years now, writing comics. So, you know, I think the thing about it at the end of the day is it's really just about being persistent and being able to keep going, you know, through a lot of setbacks, just because it doesn't really matter what creative endeavor you're trying to follow. There's always going to be those setbacks, those moments where, you know, somebody tells you no, or somebody tells you, you know, I don't know if this is a good idea or this is going to work out. And you just got to be able to see through that and be able to keep working, because, you know, at a certain point, you're going to get there, but it's just a matter of being able to continue to work, learn, grow, and improve. So for me, the biggest thing, just hustle-wise, is being able to, you know, motivate myself, find motivation for myself to be able to, you know, write every day, read every day, try to keep creating new ideas, because it can be hard. And, you know, a lot of times creative stuff can be isolating where it's just you and you're doing it on your own. And so it can be kind of easy to, you know, maybe think about giving up or think about, you know, quitting. But, you know, my philosophy is you only really fail if you quit. So if you keep going, no matter if, you know, you have those setbacks or you have those moments of doubt, you know, the hustle really is just about being able to continue to find new creative ways to get your art and your ideas out there.
So, Jordan, give us a little bit of perspective, because in my experience, last year, I met you through a friend of ours named Mark. I went to the XPX Comics venue that they had at Bethesda, Maryland last year, saw your comic book, The Black Experience, and it was very simple but very poignant messages that you had in there, and I think it was awesome. You've worked on a couple other projects and created some things since then. Tell me about some of the work that you have out right now.
So, currently right now, Black Experience is out. I did a story about James Baldwin based on one of his essays, Equal in Paris, which was basically just about an incident that happened to him in Paris and kind of how that incident relates to things that are still going on today in terms of, you know, society and equality and criminal justice. I've got two more stories that I'm working on that are short, similar to those. One is about this girl who's a runaway slave during the Salem witch trials. She gets up to Salem, Massachusetts, right before the witch trials start. She's kind of, you know, put in the situation where she's left to fend for herself. And it kind of is an examination of how, you know, a lot of times, you know, Black women are looked upon to do, you know, kind of these extraordinary things, but they don't often get that support that they need as a result of that. So people expect them to be extraordinary, but they don't really expect to have to give anything back to them. And then I've got another story, which is similar to the Black Experience, called BFF, which stands for Black Friend Forever, which is basically looking at the idea of the Black friend. Whenever anybody gets in trouble, they always have a Black friend who, like, is able to come in and say, like, oh, no, it's cool, it's okay, like, don't, he's not racist. So the idea is that, you know, this person creates an app which allows you, it's kind of like Tinder meets Uber, where you can like find a Black friend when you're in a situation. But the catch is that instead of paying money, people pay in privilege. So they're able to pay for, you know, instead of like, you know, giving me like $10, it's like, well, help me get like an equitable home loan, or like, help me like get like, you know, help me get, you know, this thing on my resume. You know what I mean? Like, these are the things that can really go a long ways, rather than like, you know, $100, like I could do something with that. But like, you know, I get that, kind of quote unquote get out of jail free card, you know what I mean, with a little bit of that privilege. Like, I could do a lot more with that. And then I'm also going to be running a Kickstarter in April 12th for this project I have called Elk Mountain, which is an immigrant superhero story about this superhero from a small town who is an immigrant. He's from Ecuador, and he gets himself into the situation where all of a sudden, you know, the fear that's surrounding immigrants right now kind of rises up, and it's kind of turned against him. So, you know, he's in a situation where he's got all these powers, all these abilities, but he can't fight, you know, xenophobia, and he can't fight fear physically. So he's got to figure out a way to kind of, you know, bring this town back together when they kind of get separated by a lot of hate and fear that's going on.
That's awesome. And so, like, you're working on a bunch of stuff. Do you build working on your skill set into your routine?
Yeah, I mean, I think the way I go about it is, you know, every project is a learning experience. So as I write, you know, I'm always trying to figure out, you know, what I did well the last time around, but also things that I can improve upon. You know, I'm always reading interviews, reading in general, trying to figure out what other creators are doing, what other professionals are doing, to kind of capture onto that so I can kind of add that to my repertoire. But, you know, every time I make a story, you know, I try to, I hope that every story is better than the last story. So I hope every time that I do something, you could see those improvements, even if it's just slight. You know, I think that's an important part of being a creative, is being able to, you know, see what your flaws are and be able to always try to be working on them and making those into strengths if you can. So, you know, I don't know if I'm doing it. It's hard to tell sometimes in the moment whether or not it's working. But that's definitely the goal every time I do something.
We have tried to capture the same thing. I think with Day and I, especially when we're approaching this podcast, we're thinking, how do I integrate music into the podcast and keep the listener engaged? How do we speak and use words and communicate in a way that, like, we keep the person engaged? Because, like, guys, I know you're listening to this. You may be on a treadmill. You may be working out. You may be in the office, or you may just have us on your some type of voice. When I say, like, would it be Google Home or Alexa at home, and you're listening to us, we're like, how do we keep these people engaged? And so I'm always thinking about, like, what are interesting topics that we can talk about with people in order to keep them engaged, one. And then two, how do we talk about that in a way that doesn't say, like, get to the point? Like, I don't want somebody to ever listen to us and be like, get to the point. I want them to be like, dude, this is awesome. Like, keep going. Right. So my next question was going to be for you was, which medium of social media has helped you expose your art or message to audiences best?
You know, I think it's interesting just because each of them kind of has their own specific pluses and minuses. So, you know, Twitter is, I think, maybe the most far ranging. Like, you can get, you know, a lot of people engaged in conversation and looking at things and thinking about things just by the way that works. Like, you know, it's not necessary to be friends with somebody to be able to see somebody's Twitter page or see somebody's tweet. So you can put something out and a lot of different people can react to it just by finding the hashtag or somebody retweeted it. And it gains a lot of traction that way. I think there's, you know, a lot of, you know, almost a virtual word of mouth on Twitter. Facebook, I think, is good for being able to, you know, have more nuanced and longer conversations. Like, you can make a longer post, you know, put out more fully formed thoughts. And I think that's good just for, you know, kind of drawing people's attention in terms of, you know, telling stories or giving people more detail about what you're working on. And Instagram, obviously, is a great visual, you know, media where you're able to, you know, put out images if you're working on a comic book project and say, oh, here's a page from that, or here's, you know, something that I'm working on. And that can kind of just capture people's attention. Just, you know, they're scrolling through and they see something that catches their eye and kind of stops them for a moment. Then they want to know more about it. So I think, you know, the trick is being able to merge all of those together. So you're kind of operating on each of them equally. But, you know, it's also very exhausting and time consuming to be always, you know, trying to keep up on each of those platforms. So, you know, for me, Twitter, I think maybe has been the best to help me socially, you know, be able to reach out to a lot of people just because of its accessibility. But, you know, Facebook has been great helping me with Kickstarter stuff, and Instagram has been great just in terms of, you know, me reaching new people and new audiences. So it's always a matter of just trying to figure out, you know, how to best use your time on each of those platforms.
And it's funny how, like you said, it could be exhausting trying to work on all these social medias in order to be able to get your product out there, right? Or your service. And I think you have to have a marketing strategy. So guys, if you have the idea that I want to promote a product or service, or I'm an illustrator, or I have a comic book, or I'm a cosplayer or something, you have to have some type of strategy. And duh, I know that makes sense. You've got to have a strategy. But when I say strategy, I want to say the sense that you look at your week and you say, I'm going to address promoting my content on Instagram on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I'm going to address putting my content out on Twitter on these days at these times. And I'm retweeting this. I'm putting out a couple posts about this. I'm liking this. And I'm adding these new people. The other thing I would mention to you guys as well, too, that I've just learned that's helped me is finding your tribe. I felt like, why isn't nobody like listening to what I'm saying or what's going on? It's like, no, you have to find your tribe. You have to find people who are interested in what you're talking about, who look like you, sound like you, and they're out there. I would not go to a rock concert because I'm not in the rock. That's not my tribe. But sometimes I feel like we put our message out and like if you have ever been fishing before, we'll just throw our bait out there and we'll just, why am nothing biting? But if you're a real fisherman, you're like, this, I know this bait is good to get this fish and I need to be in this waters and they're over here. So you have to have those tactics in mind and say, okay, if I'm somebody who's trying to attract people who like the medium of comic books, you need to find people who are interested in comic books. One. Two, if it's, I know in one of your comic books, you're talking about the Black experience, right? I need to find African Americans who are interested in their message and what their values being addressed. So I need to find that tribe. And then what you do with your social media strategy is finding ways to address all of that. So you create conversations on Facebook. You do a poll on Twitter. You do an interesting image on Instagram. And then I would take it a step further. I remember when I was at SPX event with you, a lot of the illustrators were using Tumblr. And they would create like these really cool memes. And those memes somehow have a way of migrating into, you know, Instagram and other places as well, too. And then Snapchat. I remember when I first got on Snapchat 2 years ago, there was a guy, and I don't remember his name offhand, but he would create illustrations step by step through Snapchat. And you would see him build a picture, him create Garfield, him create the T-Rex from Jurassic Park. And so I would have a different tactic for all your social media guys. If you guys are listening to this, like, that's interesting. I never thought about a strategy to be able to get my product or service out. I would think use each one individually for what is unique and then approach. This is how I'm going to approach it every single day or daily or weekly or monthly. So that's cool. I like that, Jordan. I like that. But this is how I would take the motion out of it. Guys, you know, I'm into fitness and like powerlifting and stuff as well, too. I saw Arnold Schwarzenegger in an interview. He was waiting for this power lifter to get ready for his next set. So he'd already did his max lift on squat, and he was about to do his max lift on his deadlift. And he's just getting a massage, and he's getting ready. And they're asking the guy, you know, are you going to make it? How are you feeling? Are you ready? And he says, I'm good. And then they pan over to Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he said, you know, Arnold, Think he's going to do it? How do you think he feels? And Arnold Schwarzenegger says, you know, this is a dumb question. If you see a machine or you talk to a machine doesn't feel. It just gets it done. That's what he's going to do. He's a machine. He's going to get it done. And I was like, whoa, that's so true. And I'm watching this Netflix series called Love, Death, and Robots. And a lot of the characters that I see in this series, if they have a purpose or objective, there's none of this extra baggage or distractions or how I see myself. None of that's going on. It's just objective and I get it done. So if you guys put on paper or on your computer or whatever, this is my calendar. This is my strategy. I'm just going to get this done. And you take the emotion out of it, but you add emotional content to it to be able to get people to vibe with your stuff. You'll build your tribe. And have you ever seen the movie Lucy? It's one of my favorites. Scarlett Johansson. It was like the more she evolved, she came and be able to use more of her capacity of her mind, the less she was worried about what people thought of her and all the other bullshit. It was more about how do I evolve? How do I learn more? How do I find my purpose? So back to Jordan. All right. So, Jordan, we both saw Us. I've seen it probably like two times already. Okay. Actually, I have seen it like two times. And we both, when we saw it, we saw so much symbolism and subtle messages in this movie. I feel like the new trend of art is having deeper meaning and then being explained, as you could say, and then creating more conversation after the exposure to the product or the service or the your illustrations or comic book or whatever. Do you want to do the same like Us did? Like, I put out this movie, now it's got to be explained. And it's like, there's the one conversation from just seeing this stunning, you know, movie that's just gut-wrenching and I've never seen this before. And then now there's another conversation that comes out of, wow, did you see this? This is classes. Like, tell me, is that something that you kind of want to create through your comic books?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the thing that that movie did, and I'm going to give Jordan Peele credit as this being an intentional thing, is I kind of feel like it's like the movie version of A Magic Eye, where like a lot of people saw so many different things in it. And being able to create something where, you know, people can go and experience a film, and you're talking to your friend and you're like, oh, like, did you see this part? And they're like, what? Like, I didn't see that at all. I'm like, but did you see this part? And you're like, I didn't catch that either. So, you know, you're going back and forth and having these conversations where, you know, people are able to interpret a lot and see a lot. Because I think, you know, there is a benefit sometimes to having a movie that's very straightforward and very simple, and you can kind of just enjoy the film in and of itself. You don't really have to think too deep about it. But then on the other hand, you know, movies where, you know, I mean, I love talking about movies. I love having conversations about movies, not even just like what it means, but just like, you know, having something, having a piece of art that I can have a deeper conversation about, where it's not just like, oh yeah, that was pretty good. And then that's it. That's the end of it. Because I feel like the worst thing you can do is create something and then people are like, cool. And like, that was it. Like, that's the only thought they ever had about it. It was like, that was cool. You know, if you're getting an extreme reaction either way, where people are like, you know, I hated that so much, and they're just ranting about it and raving about it, even though that may not be the reaction that you wanted, like, you still got a very emotional response out of them. And then on the other hand, you know, when people are like, oh, I loved it so much, you know, let's talk about this movie for like hours, you know, because that's in this day and age, where it feels like a lot of things have become so disposable and the news cycle moves so fast and people are kind of like, you know, so concerned with something in one moment and the next moment they moved on to something else. You know, it's very difficult to capture people's attention for longer periods of time. So I think, you know, very successful for him just in terms of creating a film that, you know, people aren't even just, you know, they're not just talking about it in terms of like, did you see it? But like, they're talking about it, you know, from all angles. So I think, you know, as a creator now, I think that's, you know, the biggest goal is to be able to create something that people talk about, not just, you know, the weekend after they saw it, but like months after, years after, like, you know, it's still holding on to people's imagination and attention.
I think that's so true. Like, I'm an 80s baby, and I never remember like going to see Back to the Future or Batman Returns, and there having to be, and we didn't have the internet back then, but you didn't have this Back to the Future explained right after it. And so now when I see these movies, it's like, okay, you're not going to see John Wick explain, but you're going to see that with Black Panther explain. And if you say that's a humongous task to do this, but if you can do this, you've done an amazing feat of not after a weekend after you've seen the movie, but now you're talking about this movie months afterward. So we're here in Ren Emmis in Baltimore, Maryland. Really nice, chill coffee bar. And I look up on the board and I see there's a meetup event on Black experience and how to create our own Wakandas. Black Panther came out last February. And we're 2019 right now. This movie is still creating conversations. This movie has been out like for a long time. And that's how you know this movie is that impactful, when it's creating more conversations after the movie is done. And so I feel like if people get exposed to what you have going on with your comic books and see the amazing art in it, I mean, some of the characters I've seen in your thing, I would want to dress up for as cosplay or for Halloween. I know for Halloween, I normally do not celebrate Halloween, but I feel like I want to dress up in a red outfit, have a pair of scissors and a glove, and just freak some people out. So I'm gonna move into, since we kind of talked about film a little bit, where do you see the future of comic books going into TV and film?
I mean, it's interesting just because, you know, the more that we see just in terms of Marvel and Disney, you know, now that that deal has gone through, like, you know, Marvel and Disney own all that stuff. Warner Brothers and DC own all that stuff. And so, you know, as streaming services continue to grow and evolve, you know, both of them now have their own streaming service. So, like, you're not going to get that content other places. If you want to see Marvel superheroes, you subscribe to the Marvel streaming service. If you want to see DC superheroes, you subscribe to the DC streaming service. But there's all these other places out there, Netflix, Hulu, and just, you know, TV stations in general, that they still need content. They're still looking for stuff. And comic books, I think, are something that visually are, you know, you're able to translate that, not even just easier than, say, like a novel, but there's so many visual elements already at play. There's so many just imaginative ideas already at play. And so you see things like Deadly Class on, you know, the Sci-Fi Channel. You see things like Umbrella Academy on Netflix. You see things like, you know, Why the Last Man coming to FX and all these other things where, you know, comics have had a wealth of stories and ideas and things that have gone on for a long time. And there's stuff like Road to Perdition is a comic book that got turned into a movie. And most people wouldn't even think that because it's a mob, you know, movie with Tom Hanks. And people are like, this is either an original story or this is a novel, not a graphic novel. And, you know, there's so many things from, you know, science fiction to horror to, you know, real world political stuff, like, you know, the March comic book series that Senator John Lewis does, like, that could easily be turned into, you know, a biopic kind of TV series and things like that. Like, there's so many different avenues to go down. So, you know, we're in a good period of, you know, comic book creators being able to create something as a comic book, and then that comic book being able to take on a second life as, you know, a movie or a film or a TV show. So, you know, it's hard to say. I think a lot of people, you know, there's the conversation about when are comic book movies die out and when will all that stuff be over. But I look at comic book movies as they're the new action movie. And like, action movies aren't going anywhere. Like, Westerns were a very specific thing about a very specific time. So when Westerns died, it was like, oh yeah, yeah, we're not doing cowboys anymore. But like, superheroes aren't anything in particular. Superheroes can be anything, any place, anywhere, anytime. So the idea of that, you know, I think will always exist and live on, whether it's, you know, a more, you know, dramatic thing, whether it's just like an action pack, like a Punisher kind of story, or whether it's a story about like a father and son or father and daughter superhero, like Black Lightning. Like, there's so many things where you can take so many different routes. It doesn't have to be one thing. So right now, you know, I think everybody's hope is kind of like, hey, you know, this could be turned into a movie. This could be turned into a film. A lot of the stuff that I do, like, they're meant to be comic books. And, like, it'd be great if they, you know, took on another life. But, like, right now, my main focus is making sure that it's a good comic book story that, like, people can read and enjoy as that. But, you know, for a lot of people who have been doing it for a long time, like, it's great. Specifically because, you know, comic books, you're kind of a freelance creative. So, like, you know, you don't necessarily have healthcare or like have all these other things to fall back onto, you know, so and comic books can make you some money, but they're not going to make you like film money. But like, if you create a thing and all of a sudden it's a big hit, it's a big deal. Like, now it's like, oh, you know, like it's a whole other world to go into. So I feel good about it. I hope, you know, all this stuff keeps coming out because there's a lot of projects that have been announced that I'm really excited about. So like, if those turn out to be as good as the comics that they're based on, like, it's going to be pretty great.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I don't think it's going anywhere. I think this is the next thing, and it's going to be perpetual. One of the cool ideas that I really wish somebody would do, and I might have to do it myself, is the 80s or 90s movie with Rowdy Roddy Piper, They Live. I want somebody to do a 2019 version of that. Because I'm telling you, if you did that now and you put it on Netflix or made it into a movie, you know how, like, people probably be talking, like, guys, I'm excited for Avengers Endgame to come out just so I don't have to talk about us anymore. Because all I hear is about us. But I feel like this is good for Marvel that us had this much success, because when it comes out, people are going to want a breath of fresh air or break from that. They're going to want that breakup. Like, oh, finally, this came out. I don't have to talk about us anymore. And then they'll be able to but the probably next conversation, which was better, us or Avengers Endgame. But I really want somebody to do They Live because I'm like, yo, I could totally see somebody like Trump. What if Trump was one of those alien creatures or something like that and They Live? Like, oh, that makes perfect sense. This doesn't make perfect sense, but I digress. All right. I want to finish up by asking Jordan this last question. So, guys, please stay tuned. So, guys, the last thing I want to end with is there was this really great quote that Jordan mentioned to me, like, when we first started talking. He was saying, now when people are looking at so many superhero stories, there's this, like, wishful fulfillment. And people are coming out of these movies and saying, I see me. And they're having this experience when they've seen Wonder Woman. You said, you know, girls are coming out like, oh, my gosh, I see myself as Diana. Black Panther, they see themselves as Killmonger. I was going to do a podcast at Guerrilla Comics here in Baltimore, and you were running a book club out of there. And the comic book owner, Ian, you know, God bless his soul, put me onto a comic book called Killmonger. That was Michael B. Jordan's character in Black Panther. And I never gravitated to Killmonger at first. But then when he put me onto the comic book that Marvel has right now, I saw like this boy going through a Batman level of development where I went to the best schools. I got the best education. I developed myself physically. I developed a skill set so I could ultimately fulfill this purpose, kind of like Batman. But then I saw him go through all this stuff in relation to Wakanda and being disenfranchised and being used by the government. And I was like, whoa, there's some complexities to this character. I see a part of myself in it. Even Captain Marvel, I just recently see. I see me, my daughters, they saw themselves in that. And then Aquaman, we just watched that on DirecTV not too long ago. And I see me, you know, that kid who he's strange for some reason. My daughters really resonated with that at the beginning of the movie before he, you know, could talk to all the fish and stuff like that. Where's his mom? You know, and you being told, oh, your mom loves you. But that's like, of course she loves you, but like, where is she? So tell me about this I see me experience that you say people are having. And do you see more of it happening in the future? And is this something that is a good thing that you hope that people get out of your content and other content?
Yeah, I mean, I think in general, you know, in terms of, you know, superhero comics, but also superhero movies as we move forward, you know, they just celebrated the 80th anniversary of Batman, like, you know, a few days ago. And like, for something to be going on for 80 years, you know, like, that's a long time. And, you know, the same character, same, you know, deal the whole time. And so, you know, for things to continue to evolve and grow, you're seeing more and more diverse creators being put into positions of power in a lot of different mediums, whether it's film, whether it's TV, whether it's comics. And you're getting all these different, very interesting stories that you haven't seen before. And so I think for a lot of people, you know, being able to look at whatever it is, you know, whether you're reading the comic book, whether you're watching a movie, whether you're watching a TV show, and being able to see yourself, because a lot of the times, you know, for a lot of these characters, you know, people get upset when it's like, oh, you know, they made so-and-so a woman, or they made so-and-so a different race, or, you know, different sexual orientation. You know, there's nothing in those characters' stories that necessarily say they have to be this or that. You know what I mean? Like, on Preacher, the TV show, they changed Tula, you know, in the comics, she's a white woman, and the TV show, it's Ruth Negga, you know, who's a black woman. That didn't change anything about her story. But now visibly, you know, people can watch the show and, oh, you know, I can relate to Tulip. I see myself in Tulip, you know. And so I think the more that that's done, just a wide ranging, because, you know, like white people aren't going away. Like that's they're always going to be here, you know, and that's not even the idea or the concept behind it as much as it is. You know, there's more people. And as more people find their voice, you know, whether it's, you know, socially, you know, through activism, where they find their voice, you know, through media and things like that, you know, like, you know, there's differently abled people, there's people from different religious backgrounds. You know, you look at Kamala Khan, Miss Marvel for Marvel, you know, as a young Muslim girl, like that relates to so many people who, you know, reading comics, they never saw themselves before. And, you know, as we go further, you know, and these things continue to grow and evolve, I think it is really important for there to be a wide range of people visible, you know, no matter what the medium is. So that's obviously my goal. Like, I want to create stories that people can see themselves in. But it also, you know, I think generates a level of understanding where, you know, if you're not familiar with another person's experience, you can see a movie, read a comic, and kind of get, you know, the sense of like, oh, like, this is what it's like for other people, or this is what other people go through, some of the struggles and the challenges. And you can see the differences, but then you can also see the similarities where, you know, I may not have gone through the same exact thing, but I know what it's like to grow up without a parent, or I know what it's like to feel different, or I know what it's like to, you know, go through these particular hardships and struggles. So, you know, hopefully, you know, it continues to grow. I'm going to do my part to keep making stuff that relates to all kinds of people. But, you know, I think the more diversity, no matter the genre, no matter the medium, the better.
That's awesome. So, Jordan, I've enjoyed this conversation, and I was really excited for seeing your work and the post that they did about you in the Baltimore Sun. If somebody wants to find your content, the Black Experience, BFF, the other comic books you're working on as well, too, where can I find your content, and where can I follow you?
If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's JRSosa18. On Twitter, JRSOSA18. It's the same thing on Instagram. If you want to go to my website, jclarkcomics.squarespace.com, that has all of my comics for sale. It also has tutorials on making comics and just ideas on comics. So that's where you can find updates for all the projects I'm working on. That's where you can buy all the projects that I'm working on. So hopefully you enjoy.
Guys, just keep listening to our content. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And kind of what I want to leave you with this is, Jordan is scaling and, you know, building his brand and building his comic books. And I think if you have something that you're working on right now, there's a quote from Peter Drucker: "What's measured improves." And I really think you should be measuring, like, okay, where's my skill level right now? Where's my network right now? Where am I as far as my brand? So, like, if you're on social and you only have 377 followers on Twitter, why is that? And I heard this from Gary Vaynerchuk. He was saying that if you're worried about getting a million, but you won't respond to the 8 comments that you have on your posts, you're pretty fucked up. Like, you need to be worried about those 8 people. Like, those are the million. So if you have 377 followers, you say, okay, how do I address the needs of those 377? And then if you can build a system and measure that over time, you'll build that 377 to 1,000 and that 1,000 to 5,000. And I'm not sure if you've capitalized on this yet, but again, you're following up eventually, you know, the sponsor being involved with you as well, Jordan. So, guys, I hope you can take that from this episode and build on what you're creating right now. I hope you have a great weekend and tune into more content. And we're 25 days until Avengers Endgame comes out. All right. So talk to you soon.